in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. I hope you catch it when we get there. Luke chapter 7, I'm only going to lift up two verses in your hearing. Luke chapter 7, verses 37 and verse 38. Amen. When you've gotten there, say amen.
Amen.
In the King James translation, you'll find these two verses like this. It says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." Amen. You may be seated. And I'll read it again, just for, so you can hear it and hopefully discern it and feel it. "And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointments." For this first Sunday in 2018, I want to ask you a question. What's in your box? What's in your box? To fully understand the text, Luke, our writer here, tells us of one of the Pharisees who we later discover has a name of the name of Simon. He desires to have a meal with Jesus in his home. Mark also tells us that this man is also known only, or this man is only known by his former circumstances, Simon the leper. After having a conversation with the disciples of John and the other Pharisees, Jesus is invited to share in a meal just before the Passover. It is during this meal, presumably attended by all men, a woman crashes in. She immediately makes her way into the house, breaks open a box of expensive ointment, and anoints Jesus' feet while wiping his feet with the tears and her hair. While those in the room felt indignant for this woman committing this act and stated that if Jesus knew who this woman was, he would not have allowed her to touch
him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Secondly, they all looked at what the cost was for this precious ointment, thinking about how much they could have made had she not wasted it on her feet. In many of the authorized and earlier translations, they relate to what this woman had as an alabaster box. But it's believed that this woman really had what was called, considered an alabaster jar, or even an alabaster flask, known as alabastrons. Alabastrons were designed to preserve the odor of the fragrance for a long time, if sealed. Some were said to have lasted for centuries. Other alabastrons had stoppers like corks instead of seals to allow the perfume to be used on a daily basis. For the sealed ones, however, the perfume was meant to only be used once when the seal was broken. That made these sealed alabastrons ideal for inclusions in a woman's dowry, as the perfume would keep, or to break the seal and use it for a burial. Some alabastrons were even worn like jewelry. They were like small little flasks or small little pendants that had a little bit of oil in it, and so the woman would wear it. Also, there's talks about, because women of ill repute, because of the lifestyle they lived, they kept themselves perfumed so others wanted to either attract their suitors or scent them enough so that you would smell what their life was like. Does that sound kind of familiar?
Yeah.
How do we look at this? This thing. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, my mom. Boys are terrible fellas. Okay, I guess I'm the only one going to agree to that. My son didn't understand it, and he will learn it shortly. How did my mother know about how I smell?
Well,
even when she didn't see me.
Well,
and if you were like me, and I'm sure some of you were when we were young, around about 12, 13, maybe early as 9. Smell became vital.
Well,
particularly when you didn't wash.
Well,
my mother would send me back upstairs, Brother Jackson. Would you go back upstairs and wash under your musty arms? And I said, Mama, I took a bath, but did you wash under your arms? And if you were like us back in the day in school and gym class, because we were kind of whatever we were, I won't go into details. We didn't shower after gym class.
Well,
so we would grab right guard.
Tell the truth.
Secret.
Tell the truth.
What was that other one? Band. Sure. Oh Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That was a devil. Oh Lord, yes.
Right.
And we would put it on only to go to class, and our classmates be like, who in the world is that smelling like that? Because we didn't have sense enough to know two things. One, sound travels.
Yes.
So you can never sneak off and do stuff without folk hearing you. And two, smell travels. If it don't, you don't think so, hang around your children long enough, you won't know it. And all of a sudden, back in those days, perfumes were a vital commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some said the oils that she can't use was from a plant called the spikenard plant. But I don't know. It was never said. But whatever this ointment was, it was expensive enough that even when a woman was promised marriage, this oil was used at the end of the wedding night to consummate the marriage. Two things had to be known. One, the bedclothes had to be shown to the public. And then secondly, the bride would have on new smell. That's all I'm saying about that. I had to go back to scripture, and I said, what in the world was life like back then? But God, I thank you for the 21st century, because I have soap, water, deodorant, and cologne. And I use them quite regularly, because I don't want nobody to remember what I was smelling like in 1973, 75, 78.
Yes.
When I just thought I could just do this every now and then and slide on.
Well.
It wasn't happening. One of the things I noticed here in the scriptures, and I was wondering about it, because as I was reading the story, Jesus was having a discussion. John's disciples came to him, and they were having a discussion about baptism and some other things, and Jesus told his disciples to go tell John what you saw. All of a sudden, someone got a little indignant, or should I say got a little slick, figured, let me have him over for dinner, and we can corner him there, and we can check him out for real, for real. Or he may have decided he just wanted to be the one undercover to say, I had Jesus in my house.
Yeah.
Come on over and have dinner with me. And you know, Jesus can't never go nowhere and be by himself.
No.
If you always read the four Gospels, Jesus traveled in a crowd. While everybody always talk about the 12 disciples, I believe the 12 times too many more were always around except on certain occasions. And usually those are denoted when Jesus either tells the fellas, send them away, or y'all go ahead and I'll send them away. And so they're in this house by an individual by the name of Simon. And then Mark tells him that he's Simon the leper. You always realize that people are not recognized by their name only, but they're recognized by their circumstance. They're recognized by their issues. They're recognized by their life.
Yes, Lord.
I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, God, why is it that when we talk about people in Scripture, we always got to find the other stuff wrong with them?
It
started back when I started learning about Mephibosheth. I'm like, okay, Mephibosheth, I understood what happened to him when he was 4 or 5 years old, but why did they always got to remind us that he was crippled in both feet?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, snap.
But he ate at the king's table, but yet the writer painted a wonderful portrayal of the story, God. Mm-hmm. And even at the highlight, because you know some stories, you know, we watch TV has those happily ever after ending. And I thought even in Mephibosheth it was going to have a happily ever after ending, which it did, but it always went, even as he sat at the king's table, him and his boy, to eat, he was still crippled.
Yes.
In both feet. We move forward and we see others, and now we hear and hear the scripture tells us.
Wow.
And I wondered, I said, God, why are we always defined by our issue?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all. Some of us are still defined by our former life.
Yes.
When they talk about certain people, they don't just call your name and look at you now, Shay. They still remember you when.
Yeah.
They say, so-and-so's boy, that was the baddest boy.
There
was even that hard-headed boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can a hard-headed boy ever change?
Come on, yeah.
Why he the one that stayed in trouble all the time?
Yeah.
Wasn't she that fast tail girl that, you know, everybody kept trying to get after?
Yeah.
Can't we ever just have a name?
Ooh.
Even some of us, we grew up in communities. We didn't have a name. The community gave us a nickname.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
And if you grew up like I grew up, Priscilla, be careful, because you have a name.
Yeah.
And your name was relative to whatever happened at the moment, and some that name still sticks.
Yeah.
Some names were not good.
Yeah,
like stinky.
Stinky. And if you were darker than the Ace of Spades, they called you Skillet.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They never knew your name. I knew two guys named Skillet. Now I never knew their real names.
All
we knew was Skillet and Blackie, Smoke Dog. Because all he did was smoke. Never knew the person's name, but knew them by their character. There were some other names we used to give people that I can't say right now. Even to this day, there's one individual who I saw recently, and another classmate posted on the Facebook page the name that was given to her 40 years ago. Still calling her that name to this day. But I seen the change in her. But he still called her the name that was tagged to her 40 years ago. And so I started to think about this. I said, God, help me to understand what's in the box. God said, well, first thing, before you get to the box, Don't let nobody define you by your past.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Well,
right.
Go
well.
In on
past.
All right.
By Luke's account, this woman in our story here, she's described as a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now, I understand for the telling of the story, the writing is in past tense, but somewhere along the line when Luke said that this woman in the city was, past tense to the verb to be, was a sinner, that means, well, is she still sinning or? Yes, or is she giving it up? And yet even while the Pharisees who invited Jesus, saying to himself, if this man was a prophet and he would have known who this woman was, he wouldn't have her touching her, because he himself said, she is a sinner. So I said, God help me. He said, one thing you got to be mindful of, don't let nobody define you from your past.
Yes.
I heard someone say, when I just mentioned those other names, somebody said, you don't have to answer. That's true, you don't have to answer. But you know, eventually at some point in time, if someone's persistent, you're going to give them some attention. But what I know to be true, this is what I do. Well, I remember you when. Because you notice how they always started.
Yeah.
If they see you in your new walk now, you didn't used to walk like this. You didn't used to live like this. You didn't used to be like this. So the first thing they're going to say, I remember you when. I say, thank you. Thank you for reminding. See, somebody talking about testimony every day. Look, that's testimony. You know, they say, you remember me when? Thank you. Now let me tell you about where I am now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
My name ain't Dookie. My name ain't Stink. My name ain't under that. My name ain't Skill. My name is
my God.
Victory.
Yeah.
My God.
Come on, let me tell you. You want to know how I got it? Here it go. Tell your story.
That's right.
Because every now and then, everybody loves to keep you in your past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what the devil wants to do. That's why when we err, when we make a mistake, the devil is the first one that pops up and says, you know you fail, you might as well stay down.
Yeah.
Well, how do I know he's still getting me?
Yeah.
Even as a preacher, when we make a mistake, look at you, you messed up, you can't preach, tell up hope, nothing. Because, you know, you're supposed to be living upright. Well, we all are trying to get to heaven.
Yeah.
But the only person I know lived upright before the Lord was who?
Jesus.
Thank you. And he even said himself, there's none good but the Father.
None good. Amen.
So don't let nobody define you by your past. Because the bad part about it, the sad reality is, everybody has a past.
Yes.
Right. Everybody.
Why do you want to bring up my past and not talk about yours?
Yeah.
And then be careful, because some of them might be the ones you was within. And they say, yeah, but remember when we were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I remember what we were, and I thank God we are no longer that way.
Make it plain, Jesus.
But if you want what I have, here you go. Silver, gold have I none, but I got something else I can give.
Yeah.
Secondly, release what is in your box.
My God.
Now, this woman had an expensive perfume, ointment, and a jar, a box, a flask. But it was not just about the ointment for her. You see, she offered Jesus worship. He looks to Simon and turns to him and says, while he's looking at the woman, he says, you see this woman? I came to your house. You didn't give me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss when I came in the door. But from the time I came in the house, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet.
My God.
You did not anoint my head with any oil.
Well.
But she has anointed my feet with ointment. This was her act of true worship. This was her act of repentance. See, one of the things we got to remind ourselves is, open, when we release what is in our box, you don't have to wait the Sunday morning to open up the box and give God praise. I remember some of y'all hear me sing a song every now and then, says, daily I will worship thee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lamb of God who died for me,
thank you,
who extended endless mercy, daily I will worship thee. Because again, what happened was the woman knew who she was.
Yeah.
She didn't need nobody to remind her who she was. She didn't need nobody to remind her what kind of life she may have lived. She didn't need nobody to tell her. She knew the moment she woke up.
Amen.
I don't need you to remind me who I used to be. I know what I was around the corner.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Still remember the days how I got all around the corner.
Yeah.
But I don't need nobody to remind me. I thank God every time I think.
Come on.
I think Brother Jackson, you said it a couple some Sundays ago. When I think back over my life and think things over, I can truly say that I have been blessed. That's what gives me the testimony.
Yes, indeed.
Because I've learned to release what's in my box. We talked about last Sunday about having the song, because we sit there and we go through issues of life and we get through what's that? See, when you go through issues, that's a foreign land. Mm-hmm. When they give you the pink slip, that's the foreign land.
Well,
when they give you the bad news, that's the foreign land. But I've learned through the process of life, how can I sing the songs of the Lord in the strange land? Easy. When I think about what he's done for me, all I can do is find a song. So the song of praise I can release out of my box is, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. For my help come from the Lord. You are the center of my joy. I can sing songs like those because I learned to release what's in my box. I don't have a whole lot to give God, but what I have my praise. You can't shut it out. You can't lock it out. You can't throw the cover on it. Even if I can't even open my mouth, there's an old song of church you said, if I could say a word, I'd just wave my hand. Release what's in your box. It was normal sign of respect to pour perfumed oil on someone's head, but perhaps the woman felt unworthy to anoint Jesus' head, so she did with his feet instead. Now, one thing I learned about respect, y'all see me dress what I'm dressed in. I am at the lowest level before something else that some of y'all are wishing for in time. But one thing I've learned, that in my position, I can't lay my hand on the head of one above me. But it never said I couldn't touch the feet of the one above me. I understand where she was. She realized that. Because who that individual represents the him who died on the cross. None of us, I'm like John now, whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to unlatch, but I know one thing, give me a moment, I'll be at his feet. Because just like Mary at his feet, there's something to be gained at the feet of Jesus. That's part of your worship. When we kneel down and pray, when we bow down and pray, you're not at his head, you're at his feet. Because it's a sign of honor. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of worship. The honor is when the one who's the honoree can bestow on one's other feet. But while I'm at his feet, I can be there and get all that comes from him. The love, the compassion, the understanding, the forgiveness, all of that. And one of the things that was amazing about the fact that when she was there at Jesus' feet and anointing and Simon and the other fellows got indignant and he jumped on Simon and said, look here, I've been here all this time and you're not even other than a crust of bread. You didn't offer me any of the hospitality that you would render someone else. If I am to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, why did you treat me like boo-boo the fool? Yet this woman who just broke in the back door, opened up this vial, and she decided that even though she can't touch my head, she honored me with her praise. Her tears was her praise. Her hair was her praise. Her service and worship was all in the wiping of his feet. Lastly, the thing that probably got it even more was he went down a little further. Jesus even said to her, your faith, by your faith, you are forgiven. It was, lastly, keep walking in faith. It was by faith the woman received forgiveness. And it was by faith we will receive that which only comes from the Lord. Yeah. Faith got her to make her way to the house. Mm-hmm. But faith also got her in the house.
Yeah.
Lastly, faith got her to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. You got to understand where faith comes in.
Yeah.
We said it this morning in Sunday school that without faith it's impossible to please God. That's why the church has to change its posture in 2018.
Yeah.
I love music. No one can outbeat me loving music no more than me. I'm saying that because that's just me. But it's not always about the music.
Yeah.
It's not always about the talk. But when it comes time to give true praise to God, can you do it in faith? Because again, without faith, it's about impossible to please Him.
Uh-huh.
So you got to remember faith. And without faith, what it will take. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, not 18. Faith got her to Jesus. Even though she did all she could, faith talked to Priscilla and said, look at here. There's a man going down the road. It's been 12 years.
Well,
I had to emphasize that for some who know what I'm talking about. I can't find 18 nowhere in scripture. But last I checked, Nate, it said 12 years. But she decided to take a faith walk. And faith got her to Jesus. Jairus, whose daughter was sick unto death, faith got him to Jesus.
Yes.
Zacchaeus, even though he was a short fellow, decided to climb a sycamore tree.
Yeah.
Now here's the strange analogy. He was up in the tree, but still his faith got into Jesus.
Yes, it did. Yes.
Blind Bartimaeus,
the
son of Timaeus,
sitting
on the highway side begging.
Yeah.
His faith got into Jesus.
Well,
even though Jesus was passing him by, he hollered out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when the crowd was trying to tell him, shut up, the man ain't got time for you. Hush, we don't need to hear your foolishness. Go on about your business. They said that he even hollered them all. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. He took a faith walk that got into Jesus. So what's in your box?
What's
in your box? The psalmist said in 116:12, what shall I render unto God for all his benefits toward me? Then somebody had the nerve this morning to go into Isaiah 43, and I heard the words that said, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Meaning that I ain't got to praise nobody else. I like my sports teams, but I can't praise them like I can praise Jesus.
That's right.
Don't care who your teammate, who your team is, who your quarterback is, who your forward is, who your power forward, who your right guard, your left guard, or the under guard. But you can't outpraise me praising Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
real quarterback.
That's your real quarterback. You're right.
Yeah.
Songwriter says, what shall I render under God for all his blessings? What shall I render? What shall I give? I like the chorus because it says, God has everything, and everything belongs to him. So that means that regardless of what I've gone through in my life, as I make change in my life, God has everything. I'm not going to be defined by my past. But if I still offer him praise, and even if you're the only one to offer praise, faith is going to keep you going. What did we say this morning? We said earlier this morning, see, one of the problems we have with Christianity, even Mahatma Gandhi said it best, I love your Christ. I don't like you Christians. Because he said, basically was saying, you're not true to your call. I challenge you for 2018. Take what's in your box. Give God your best praise. Not just only in the church house.
Come on,
but even in your house.
Yeah.
In the outhouse.
Yeah.
Even if Trump invites you to the White House.
Yeah.
You offer God your best praise.
Yes.
I guarantee you faith will get you to it.
Yeah.
If you trust it. I guarantee you if you keep holding on and holding out. Watch what happens in 2018. I saw something on yesterday.
Yes,
I ain't fully seen it all. I woke up because I couldn't sleep last night. And it wasn't because I had a bellyache. But God was showing me something. I said, God, reveal it to me slow. Because I don't want to miss a thing.
Yes, yeah.
You know how it is sometimes you go on a trip and you try to figure out, wait a minute, how did we get here so fast? I missed something.
So
God, I don't want to miss no part of it.
Yes.
Because something get ready to happen.
Yes.
Something get ready to break.
Yes.
I don't want to miss a thing. I want to see everything that God has for Hope Fellowship as it comes. Some of it ain't going to be good, but I don't want to miss that either.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because when we get past it, that's a praise. The lockbox on the door, that's a praise. Right now, it's still cold in the building, but that's a praise. Even some other folk might not be happy that we're here, but that's a praise. Because that means we're on the right road now. If we wasn't being bothered, that means something ain't right. That's why I gotta praise. That old song, that song is, I gotta praise, I gotta get it out. Because I gotta praise. My praise is this, I thank God that he saved me. I thank God that he kept me. I thank God that I should have been dead for jumping out of windows. I shouldn't have been even there. I thank God that he didn't let a bullet take me out for being in places I should have never been. I thank God that I didn't drink the wrong drink. That was laced with something else that could have taken me out. I thank God that even through all of the mess, I didn't catch something that could have taken me out. I thank God that even in the midst of being in the military, I've been through two skirmishes and two situations, and I'm still here to stay.
Thank you.
And as we always say, the devil should have had me. He should have had me, taken me out when he had a chance.
Yes, indeed.
I was in the Pentagon on 9/11. I was there when the plane crashed. But you should have taken me on that. You should have got the other side. The Gulf War. You should have got me in there. But I thank God.
I'm
here.
Still here.
What did Miss Cindy say? Thank God. I'm here. I had to bring her in because Miss Seeley was the modern day woman. Who was tore up from the floor. Unfortunately, in Miss Seeley's case, it was no fault of hers. But God made change for her. And I can tell you, God can make change for you.
Yes, he is.
But you got to use what's in your box. I can't tell you how to use it. But you know how to use it. If you can sing on key, sing on key. If you can't even hold a note hostage, just sing anyway. Because the scriptures didn't say nothing about how a perfect one sings. The 150th Psalm just says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all you lands. And then it talks about how to make a joyful noise. And we come before his presence with singing. And all of that that we're supposed to do. And watch God work in your life. I'm telling you, 18 is not going to be the same year like 17, 16, 15, and 13. But if you want a change, if you want God to move on your behalf, give him a praise.
Hallelujah.